Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young. Chapter 20. Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young.
Church Organization and Government. In his 77th year, President Brigham Young organized the priesthood to give more clear direction to its labors, to unite the saints and to gather and care for the sheep of Israel. The effect of President Young's last major project was praised by his assistant counselor, Elder George Q. Cannon. He said that President Young set the priesthood in order as it had never been since the organization of the church upon the earth. He defined the duties of the apostles, 70, high priests, elders, lesser priesthood, with plainness and distinction and power. The power of God in a way that is left on record in such unmistakable language that no one need err who has the Spirit of God resting down upon him. Comprehensive History of the Church, Volume 5, page 507. Teachings of Brigham Young. God reveals His will to the Church through the President of the Church. In the setting forth of items of doctrine which pertain to the progress and further building up of the kingdom of God upon the earth, and the revealing of His mind and will,
He has but one mouth through which to make known His will to His people.
When the Lord wishes to give a revelation to His people, when He wishes to reveal new items of doctrine to them, or administer chastisement, He will do it through the man whom He has appointed to that office and calling. The rest of the offices and callings of the church are helps and governments for the edifying of the body of Christ and the perfection of the saints and so forth. Every president, bishop, elder, priest, teacher, deacon, and member standing in his order and officiating in his standing and degree of priesthood as ministers of the word of life, as shepherds to watch over departments and sections of the flock of God in all the world, and as helps to strengthen the hands of the presidency of the whole church. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 137. To possess and retain the spirit of the gospel, gather Israel, redeem Zion, and save the world must be attended to first and foremost, and should be the prevailing desire in the hearts of the first presidency of the elders of Israel, and of every officer in the church and kingdom of God. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 137. In trying all matters of doctrine to make a decision valid, it is necessary to obtain a unanimous voice, faith, and decision. In the capacity of a quorum, the three first presidents must be one in their voice. The 12 apostles must be unanimous in their voice to obtain a righteous decision upon any matter that may come before them, as you may read in the Doctrine and Covenants. Whenever you see these quorums unanimous in their declaration, you may set it down as true. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 27. Let the elders get together, being faithful and true, and when they agree upon any point, you may know that it is true. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 133.
The Lord Almighty leads this church, and He will never suffer you to be led astray if you are found doing your duty.
You may go home and sleep as sweetly as a babe in its mother's arms, as to any danger of your leaders leading you astray. For if they should try to do so, the Lord would quickly sweep them from the earth. Your leaders are trying to live their religion as far as they are capable of doing so. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 137. The 12 apostles hold the priesthood keys for building the kingdom of God in the world.
The keys of the eternal priesthood, which is after the order of the Son of God,
is comprehended by being an apostle. All the priesthood, all the keys, all the gifts, all the endowments, and everything preparatory to entering back into the presence of the Father and of the Son, is composed of, circumscribed by, or I might say, incorporated within the circumference of the apostleship. Manuscript History of the Church, Volume 15, page 489. After we returned from Missouri, my brother Joseph Young and myself had been singing after preaching in a meeting, and when the meeting was dismissed, Brother Joseph Smith said, "Come, go down to my house with me." We went and sung to him a long time, and talked with him. He then opened the subject of the 12 and 70s.
"For the first time I ever thought of it," he said,
"Brethren, I am going to call out 12 apostles. I think we will get together by and by and select 12 apostles and select a quorum of 70s from those who have been up to Zion." In 1835, the last of January, or in February, we held our meetings from day to day, and Brother Joseph called out 12 apostles on February 14th. Discourses of Brigham Young, pages 141 and 142. The calling of an apostle is to build up the kingdom of God in all the world. It is the apostle that holds the keys of this power, and nobody else. If an apostle magnifies his calling, he is the word of the Lord to his people all the time. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 139. I have tried to show you, brethren, as briefly as possible, the order of the priesthood. When a man is ordained to be an apostle, his priesthood is without beginning of days or end of life, like the priesthood of Melchizedek. For it was his priesthood that was spoken of in this language, and not the man. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 141. It is the duty and privilege of the 12 apostles to have the Holy Ghost for their constant companion, and live always in the spirit of revelation, to know their duty and understand their calling. This is also the duty and privilege of the first presidency of the Church. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 139 and 140. An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ has the keys of the holy priesthood, and the power thereof is sealed upon his head, and by this he is authorized to proclaim the truth to the people, and if they receive it, well. If not, the sin be upon their own heads. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 136. The lesser priesthood, then, you perceive, comes within the purview, range of authority, of the apostleship, because a man that holds it has a right to act or officiate as a high priest, as one of the high council, as a patriarch, as a bishop, elder, priest, teacher, and deacon, and in every other office and calling that is in the church, from the first to the last, when duty demands it. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 140. You read in the revelation alluded to that when the 12 were called and ordained, they possessed the same power and authority as the three first presidents. And in reading further, you find that there must needs be appendages
and helps growing out of this priesthood.
See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 22 through 26. The 70s possessed the same power and authority. They received delegated authority by assignment for the establishing, building up, regulating, ordaining, and setting in order the kingdom of God in all its perfections upon the earth. We have a quorum of high priests, and there are a great many of them. They are a local body. They tarry at home, but the 70s travel and preach. So also do the high priests when they are called upon. They possess precisely the same priesthood that the 70s and the 12 and the first presidency possess. But are they ordained in all the authority, power, and keys of this priesthood? No, they are not. Still, they are high priests of God. And if they magnify their priesthood callings, they will receive at some time all the authority and power that it is possible for men to receive. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 140. The office of bishop belongs to the Aaronic priesthood and holds the authority to minister in temporal and spiritual things. The office of presiding bishop belongs to the lesser Aaronic priesthood. He is the highest officer in the Aaronic priesthood and has the administration of angels, if he has faith, and lives so that he can receive and enjoy the blessings Aaron enjoyed. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 143. A bishop in his calling and duty is with the church all the time. He is not called to travel abroad to preach, but is at home. He is not abroad in the world, but is with the saints. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 144. The bishop should be a perfect example to their wards in all things. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 144. If a bishop will act to the extent of his calling and office and magnify it, there will not be an individual in his ward that is not employed to the best advantage. He would see that all lived as they should, walking humbly with their God. There would be not a person in his ward that he does not know, and he would be acquainted with their circumstances, conduct, and feeling. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 145. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The bishops should set those whom they have confidence in, those whom they know to be honest, to be watchmen on the tower, and let them find out who are suffering. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 145. Let each bishop attend faithfully to his ward, and see that every man and woman is well and faithfully and profitably employed, that the sick and aged are properly cared for, that none suffer. Let each bishop be a tender and indulgent father to his ward, administering a word of comfort and encouragement here, a word of advice and counsel there, and a word of chastisement in another place, where needed, without partiality, wisely judging between man and man, caring for and seeking earnestly the welfare of all, watching over the flock of God with the eye of a true shepherd, that wolves and dogs may not enter among the flock to rend them. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 144 and 145. I say to the bishop, this is your business and calling. Do not let there be one place in the habitations of the saints in your wards about which you are uninformed. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 146. The bishops should, through their teachers, see that every family in their wards, who is able, should donate what they would naturally consume on the fast day to the poor. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 145. Church discipline can help people return to righteousness. We shall never have the keys of authority committed to us to be rulers until we rule just as God would rule if he were here himself. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 146. But the kingdom of heaven, when organized upon the earth, will have every officer, law, and ordinance necessary for the managing of those who are unruly or who transgress its laws, and to govern those who desire to do right but cannot quite walk to the line. And all these powers and authorities are in existence in the midst of this people. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 146. Bishops, do you have any trials? Are the feelings of the brethren in your ward alienated? Yes. What should they do in such cases? They should follow the rules laid down and be reconciled to their brethren forthwith. I think that it can be shown that the great majority of difficulties between brethren arises from misunderstandings rather than from malice and a wicked heart. And instead of talking the matter over with each other in a saint-like spirit, they will contend with each other until a real fault is created, and they have brought a sin upon themselves. When we have done good 99 times and then do an evil, how common it is, my brethren and sisters, to look at that one evil all the day long and never think of the good. Before we judge each other, we should look at the design of the heart, and if it is evil, then chasten that individual and take a course to bring him back again to righteousness. Discourses of Brigham Young, pages 149 and 150. I would like to see the High Council and bishops and all the judges filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that when a person comes before them, they can read and understand that person, and be able to decide a case quickly and justly. I would like the bishops and other officers to have sufficient power and wisdom from God to make them fully aware of the true nature of every case that may come before them. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 133. You may, figuratively speaking, pound one elder over the head with a club, and he does not know but what you have handed him a straw dipped in molasses to suck. There are others, if you speak a word to them or take a straw and chasten them, whose hearts are broken. They are as tender in their feelings as an infant, and will melt like wax before the flame. You must not chasten them severely. you must chasten according to the spirit that is in the person. Some you may talk to all day long, and they do not know what you are talking about. There is a great variety. Treat people as they are. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 150. When you are rebuked by each other, when brethren meet you and say, "This is wrong in you," you should receive it kindly and express your thanks for the reproof and acknowledge the wrong frankly and admit that you may frequently do wrong when you do not know it and say, "I wish you to enlighten my mind, to take me by the hand and let me go along hand in hand and strengthen and sustain each other." What, in your weaknesses? Yes. Do you expect to see a perfect man? Not while you stay here. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 150. Let me say to the brethren and sisters, when you are chastened by any of your leaders, never consider that the enemy does it, but receive it always as a kindness from the hand of a friend, and not as from an enemy. If your presidents were your enemies, they would let you alone in your faults. If you are beloved of the Lord, you will be chastened. Receive it with joy. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 133, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Suggestions for study. God reveals His will to the church through the president of the church. How does the Lord use the president of the church and the council of the first presidency and the quorum of the 12 apostles to direct the church? How do leaders holding other offices in the church help them? Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 21 through 38. Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 7. Why can we put full faith and confidence in the presiding quorums of the church? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 27. Why will the Lord not allow the prophet to lead the church astray? What promise did President Young make to those who do their duty? Official Declaration 1. The 12 apostles hold the priesthood keys for building the kingdom of God in the world. What are the priesthood keys of the apostleship? What are the duties of the apostles? Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 23 and 24, then 33 and 58. Verse 23. Discuss the relationship between the calling of an apostle and other offices in the Melchizedek and Aaronic priesthood. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 58. What are the duties of the 70 today as they function under the direction of the first presidency and quorum of the 12? Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 34. The office of bishop belongs to the Aaronic priesthood and holds the authority to minister in temporal and spiritual things. What keys, powers, and authorities are held by a bishop? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 26 and 27, and section 107, verses 13 through 17. What are the responsibilities of the bishop as the president of the Aaronic priesthood, as the presiding high priest of a ward? According to Brigham Young, what does a bishop do who attends faithfully to his ward? See 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. How can we, as home teachers or visiting teachers, become more helpful in watching over the church? Church discipline can help people return to righteousness. How did President Young describe those who transgress? President Young said that the majority of difficulties between people arises from misunderstandings rather than from malice and a wicked heart. What was his counsel for handling misunderstandings? What would President Young like to see in disciplinary councils? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 71 through 84, and section 134, verse 10. How can the power and wisdom from God help those rendering judgment in a disciplinary council? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 41 and 42. In what way are those who conduct church disciplinary councils to read and understand those being disciplined? What did President Young say about chastening? According to the spirit that is in the person.
See also 3 Nephi, chapter 18, verses 28 through 32. How did President Young say we should respond when we are chastened by our leaders? See also Doctrine and Covenant, section 95, verse 1. End of chapter 20, Church Organization and Government, from Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young. From Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young.